Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas and my guest this morning is Nicole Forsythe. She is the president and CEO of Red Rover. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Nice to have you along. And let's start with a little background. Red Rover is a national charity based right here in our own hometown.
That's right.
Tell me all about it.
We are a national organization based here in Sacramento, as you said, and we are really there to help when people and animals are in crisis together. So it could be an emergency from they have a veterinarian emergency and people can't afford to pay. It could be a natural disaster, and we have volunteers all over the country that help set up temporary shelters when people have to evacuate and they can't bring their pets with them. And we also help people escape domestic violence. It's really important for them to bring their pets with them because they could be used as a tool in the manipulation of the abuse. So we make sure they can leave their situation with their pets, help domestic violence shelters build on-site facilities for pets so the pets can be housed there, as well as offer temporary boarding grants so people can go to a domestic violence shelter and have their animals boarded at a boarding facility. And then we just want to make sure we're also preventing crises from happening in the first place, to try to prevent abuse and neglect by helping kids really early on understand animals, understand animal behavior, and practice the skills they need to feel empathy and compassion for them.
Absolutely. And yeah, we've talked about this several times. I know locally you work with Stand Up Placer, our buddy Jenny over there. You guys are national, based here in Sacramento, and you're working hard on a project to get pet-friendly domestic violence shelters all over the country. Have you reached all 50 states yet, Nicole?
Not yet. We have four more to go.
Hopefully
by the end of this year we'll get there, but I think things are a little slowed down with the pandemic, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, everything's been turned upside down, no question about it. Speaking of which, yeah, the pandemic has caused a lot of us to pivot on short notice. What are you guys doing to adapt?
Well, since we have these grants that help people and pets in crisis, we were definitely well-positioned to help. One of the ways that we were making sure people knew about us more was our veterinary grants for people when they've lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen up to a 40% increase in our applications for veterinary help.
Wow.
So that's one of the ways, right out the door, we were able to help. And then we just spread the word in a much bigger way so people knew that we were there. But then we also looked at our temporary boarding grants that we do for the domestic violence victims, and we thought, we could easily adapt this to people who perhaps are hospitalized due to the virus, or they are unable to care for their pets at home because of the virus, inability trying to recover. So we offer our emergency boarding grants now to people to ease their difficulties during this situation of the pandemic.
Outstanding. For natural disasters, I know Red Rover uses resource lists to help people and their pets find shelter. I'm guessing the pandemic resource list is keeping you extra busy.
Yes, so we're just making sure people know all the things that we can do and all the things that are out there to help people with their pets. So including our urgent care grants for veterinary emergencies and these boarding grants if people are hospitalized. We also offer these, the safe escape grants for the people if they are in a domestic violence situation and need to escape with their pets. And because people have been staying at home more, there have been a lot of increased reports of domestic violence. So we're really pushing our domestic violence resources so people know that they have a way to escape their situation and can bring their pets with them. We also created an emergency plan for people in case they don't really know, where would you bring your pets if something happened to you? Where would you bring your pets in a natural disaster or perhaps a situation like this where you're really sick and you can't care for your pets? So we have a document people can use to help guide them through that planning process, as well as a pet caregiving agreement. So if you figure out, I want my sister to take care of my dog, let me ask her first to make sure she can, and let's come up with an agreement of what will happen in that situation. And then we've also really tried to bring our Red Rover Readers program virtually to parents and teachers who are having to teach kids in new and creative ways. So we have a lot of our resources we've made available online, and so those are also available on our website. And then we've got pet pantry links, so if people are having a hard time affording pet food, we have links for people to look at how they can do that. Low-cost spay-neuter and a lot more things. So a great place for people to go on our website, redrover.org, to find out what we have to help.
Redrover.org. Let's talk a little bit more about the emergency planning with pets as a resource and your COVID-19 emergency plan.
Sure. We really encourage people to, find a trusted family member, a friend, somebody who really could take care of your pets. and that they're comfortable handling your pets, making sure your pets have an updated microchip. Sometimes people get their animal microchipped either when they adopt an animal or, have taken it to the vet to get spayed and neutered, but they may not have it up to date with their current phone numbers. So that's a really good thing to make sure that microchip is checked. A veterinarian can scan it to make sure it still works. Wearing collars also that have tags with phone numbers is great. Preparing an emergency kit, making sure you have everything you need in case of a disaster. Disaster season's coming up too. So it's kind of hard to think about fires happening at the same time as the pandemic, but it's probably inevitable somewhere.
Right.
So making sure you have those resources, food, crates, extra supplies for your pets, any kind of medications that they might need. Make sure you at least have a week of food, some fresh water, vaccination records in case you do need to prove that your dog has been vaccinated. If you needed to board your animal somewhere, they may need medical records. Making sure that rabies is up to date. First aid kit can be helpful just in case you're somewhere where you don't have access to veterinary care as quickly. And a leash, extra leashes, carrier. Make sure you have one for each pet. Sometimes that can be challenging if people have lots of pets.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's one thing that this pandemic has really taught us is we need to be prepared for anything at any time, right?
That is so true. Especially toilet paper. I wouldn't have thought to, like, stock up on toilet paper, but...
I know. In your wildest dreams, did you ever think we'd have to worry about toilet paper?
No. You would not believe the look on my daughter's face when I brought home toilet paper for the first time. It took a while to find it. I never thought she'd be so excited.
Tell me a little bit more about that pet caregiving document and why it's so important.
Yeah, sometimes people, just may not have thought about if they are suddenly ill or need to be hospitalized, what would you do with your pets? That's why we have the emergency boarding grant in case people are unable to care for their pets. But even if they can't find someone who will take care of their pets, even finding someone who would help you get your pet to a boarding facility, for example, just being able to come pick up your pet and bring them to a boarding facility, contact us, be that kind of go-between. Our emergency boarding agreement is set up to kind of enable that. So basically finding someone, reading through the agreement, saying, hey, if something happens to me, can you come pick up my pet, bring them to this boarding facility, work with Red Rover to work out the details and get the payment to the boarding facility, and kind of talk through all the things, the sad event of what would happen if I passed away. Kind of like almost making like a little bequest or a trust for ensuring that your pet is cared for if something happens to you. So it's just a nice template to kind of work through and make sure people know what they would do.
It's so crucial that you guys are there to be able to help in a moment of crisis like that. And like you said, people are at home way more than we're used to. Tell me a little bit more about your at-home learning resources, Nicole.
Our Red Rover Readers program normally trains teachers. We have a training that we offer them online, so that, of course, has been continuing. But we also used to train teachers at the schools, at professional development, development trainings. We had to postpone all of those, so we thought, well, how can we kind of move some of our learning resources online? So we started doing some virtual readings, and we didn't know how it was going to go. We didn't know if the kids would join in and participate through a Zoom meeting, but it went fantastic. The first one we tested, the kids were participating in the video screen, but they're also chatting on the sides, it's a nice, it's actually easier for people who might be shy normally.
Right.
They were answering the questions, and, so our typical readers program, we read illustrated children's books to kids in a classroom, and then we ask them questions like, how do you think Buddy feels in this picture? Why do you think he feels this way? How would you feel in this if you were in this situation? To really inspire discussions and conversation about what does it look like to feel empathy? What does it look like to pay attention to another being, whether it's an animal or a person, to tune into how they might be feeling? And so we just walk them through those kinds of questions and thinking. It works great virtually, we found out. In fact, it's an added thing where we can have them read the book, they have this great discussion, and then we introduce them to a real animal virtually. And we can do that anywhere, anywhere in the world, really. We can say, hey, do you want to meet this bunny in wherever? And so that's what we've been doing. So the kids love it. They get to meet a real animal, even if it's virtual, and it just brings to life the program in a real way. So that's been exciting.
Well, for some reason, I'm thinking that bunny is in Zimbabwe. I don't know
well,
why.
Yeah, it's funny. You're pretty close.
We're making it up.
We have a student, a child who's been joining us from South Africa.
So oh, nice.
Normally we're not international, so to be able to offer this resource to anybody has been pretty exciting.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then we also have, you know, our Restricted Adventures of Raja empathy app. Mm-hmm. So that's a great thing that we're trying to promote again. It's been out for a while, and there's 3 books and games in the series. And it kind of shows what our readers program is like in an app in a virtual way. So that's available, and we've been kind of promoting that to make sure people know it's there. We've got YouTube videos that kids have made called the Red Rover Reporter, so kids can watch videos about animals, and they're made by kids. We have a great guide for parents called The Guide to Reading to Build Empathy that helps parents read to kids and have discussions like what we do, helping them really pay attention to how the characters in books might be feeling.
Right.
And then we've got some animal-themed coloring pages and activities, recommended books that have these humane themes about animals, ways for kids to get involved in animals. And then we even have a junior advisory board. So if kids are really, really interested in animals and they want to participate in helping us make decisions about what we put in our Kind News magazine for kids, we've even had some of them write articles for the magazine, practice making the crafts to see how they go. And people can do this anywhere because now that we're virtual, we've been having our junior advisory board meetings virtual anyway, and we were doing that even before the pandemic so that we could invite kids from all over the place, not just Sacramento. So that's a really fun way for kids to meet other kids that love animals as well and to have a real meaningful way where they feel like they're able to give back when sometimes they're not able to volunteer in animal shelters because they're too young.
Sure.
So it's kind of a neat opportunity for them. And then, of course, if parents are home and they're trying to figure out how to keep their kids busy, we have all these virtual readings for kids, for parents to sign up. We've been doing these virtual readings for teachers, so we'll do a whole classroom because they've been on their Zoom meetings already.
Mm-hmm.
Or if parents are just looking for ways to add to that, they can do the virtual readings with their kids. So lots of things to keep them busy while at the same time really building their social-emotional learning skills and understanding about animals.
Keeping them busy and keeping you busy as well.
Yes, very much so. I was pretty proud that Red Rover, our staff, was so quick at pivoting, which is just amazing to see. You know, everyone's going through their own roller coasters,
sure.
Emotional roller coaster of this, and for them to kind of deal with that on their own. Some hadn't worked from home before, and so kind of working from home, dealing with this emotional roller coaster, worrying about their own family and friends, and then just jumping in and pivoting what we do to make sure we're still there for people and animals in crisis, and in this case, just trying to help them stay connected, too.
You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Nicole Forsythe. She's the president and CEO of Red Rover, and you can find out all about what we're talking about by going to redrover.org. You expanded your Safe Housing Grants program earlier this year. How's that going?
Great. We discovered from talking to so many domestic violence shelters across the country that some of them want to be pet-friendly or they understand the issue of needing to house pets, but they just, for whatever reason, cannot convert their site to be pet-friendly. So it could be, you know, their lease won't allow it or they're just not in a zoned area that can have pets or there's not enough space or they just can't meet the current needs of their clients even without pets. They're struggling there. So we have expanded our grants to animal shelters because sometimes animal shelters do have the space and the ability to partner with a domestic violence shelter and sort of become that place to house pets. We offer these grants to animal shelters to build their own facility, you know, make it a designated space specifically for the animals who owners are trying to receive services from a domestic violence organization. So those grants can be up to $20,000, and we are testing it out this year by offering 5. So we'll see what these 5 shelters look like.
And last year, you launched a partnership with Purina called the Purple Leash Project. So remind our listeners what that's all about.
Yeah, so this has been expanding each year, which is really exciting. So we went into a 4-year partnership with Purina and developed this Purple Leash Project. Purina is helping fund some of our domestic violence shelters to become pet-friendly, so that's part of it. They have committed to over $500,000 over the 4 years to go to these domestic violence shelters. But they are doing way more than just that. They have been helping us really get the awareness out there about the issues involving pets and domestic violence and how they can be used to manipulate people to either come back, to, you know, saying, I'm going to hurt the pet or not care for the pet if you don't come back, or just making it really difficult for people to leave in the first place because
right.
of how hard it is to find housing and just manipulating them with power and control.
Well, you know, pets are family. I don't need to tell you. Pets are family.
That's right. They are. Purina is really helping us build awareness around this issue. Several of their products over the year are going to come out with the Purple Leash Project information on them. So they've got some treats. Bag and Strip are already out right now. You can buy them online or in Target or other stores. The Purple Leash logo will be on there with information about pets and domestic violence. Tidy Cats is going to be coming out soon with some information about this issue, and there'll be more unveiling pretty soon, so people will have to take a look out in the pet retail places for anything purple, because that'll help it stand out for sure. We've also worked with them at various dog shows, the National Dog Show and the Westminster Dog Show, and the Westminster Dog Show a little while ago went purple for domestic violence, and a lot of the handlers were wearing purple ribbons. And again, just really helping us highlight the importance of this issue and making sure pets can be removed from a domestic violence situation with their people.
Outstanding. What other exciting stuff do you have planned with Purina this year?
Well, we used to do these builds with them where we had our volunteers and Purina employees and people wanted to kind of help out, as well as an organization called GreaterGood.org and their Rescue Rebuild program, where all three of us have been working together to actually help the domestic violence shelters on site build, you know, get involved in the build projects themselves. That might be on hold, so we're kind of seeing, you know, where that goes. So I think in the meantime, really just focusing on helping the domestic violence shelters learn about how they can do this. We do a lot of outreach to them to help them understand their options and how they might do this. The PAWS Act passed, which has been really exciting, and Purina and Red Rover have been involved in that, and it's federal legislation that passed to provide funding for domestic violence shelters to become pet-friendly. And the grant deadline for that, for a federal grant, was just yesterday, actually. And so that is going to really help as well by providing even more money. So we're excited to see, you know, what those applications look like, and we're there to support those organizations, too, with information on how they can do this in a way that helps people and pets.
Outstanding. And can we find out more information on the Purple Leash Project through redrover.org, or what's the best way to find out
more? The best way to learn more about Purple Leash Project is to go right to the Purina site, which is purpleleashproject.com, and that just has some videos on there from what they've been helping us put out, and we'll also have information about the various products that are participating and getting involved in this. Purina has a lot of brands, and so you can kind of see what they're doing. Cat Chow is getting involved, too. I didn't mention Cat Chow yet. And then in October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so there'll be a lot more going on at that time. And people can learn how they can volunteer and help out in addition to making donations. People can become a monthly donor and get a purple leash. That's going to be something that we'll be promoting again. We have specially designed Purple Leash Project leashes to really help symbolize the connection between pets and people and the bond that we know is there, and what we're trying to do to make sure that bond stays intact even if there's a violent situation. So purpleleashproject.com, lots of great ways for people to get involved, make a donation, learn more, see which products are going to be involved. It's going to really help spread awareness about this issue.
purpleleashproject.com. Outstanding. Now, volunteering may not be an option these days, so what are some other ways our listeners can help or get involved with Red Rover?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're definitely up in the air as far as a regular volunteer program that has our Red Rover responders go out in natural disasters and help set up these temporary shelters. So we're just really encouraging people to do a lot of stuff online. Be safe. Follow us and like us on social media. Help share our posts. Learn about what the Purple Leash Project is all about and how you can get involved through the social media sites. You can subscribe to our Red Rover Reporters YouTube channel. That's for kids. If people have kids, it's a great way to kind of just get them involved in what we're doing and how to help animals. Sign up for our email updates to see kind of what's going on and how you can get involved. If you think you are interested in becoming a Red Rover Responders volunteer, or learn more about the Red Rover Readers program, we do have these programs now online. The training is online. So this is a great way. Learning is a great thing to do during this pandemic if you feel like you're at home more. And so we do have the Red Rover Responders training available online now, so people can sign up for an interest that they're interested in that, as well as the Red Rover Readers workshop. If they want to learn how to do the program, they can do that online. And I mentioned the Domestic Violence Awareness Month coming up in October. Even before October, people can help out one of the most, the easiest ways to help in this situation is connect with your hairdresser. If people have started to go to their hairdressers again, I know my hair is getting pretty long. I can't wait to go. I'm trying to hold off as long as I possibly can.
Right.
But if people are starting to go to their hairdresser, their beauticians again, their barbers, wherever, sharing our domestic violence wallet cards is a great thing to have a conversation with your hairdresser about. Hairdressers, beauticians, they are the most commonly told person about domestic violence. So there's legislation going through many states, including California, which in California passed, to require beauticians to have training in domestic violence to understand those red flags where someone might be in an abusive relationship so that they're able to share resources to that person, since they're usually, you know, they may be the only person who knows about what's going on in someone's
right.
home. And so we have little wallet cards that share our resource called Safe Place for Pets. .org, and this is a website that has all of the domestic violence shelters that allow pets or have programs to help pets. So people can put in, it's in the U.S. and Canada, so people can put in their zip code, their provincial code, and up will come domestic violence shelters that offer resources for making sure the pets are cared for as well. So an easy thing to give to hairdressers, they have that resource that they can share with people.
Outstanding. Yeah, whatever we need to do, we need to put an end to domestic violence, that's for sure. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Nicole Forsyth is the president and CEO of Red Rover. RedRover.org will get you all the information you need. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Public File. If you'd like us to help get the word out about your nonprofit, send an email to sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@enterco.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Enjoy your Sunday, and thanks for listening.